I'm pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time to drive to work. Okay, so later this week, I am leaving to go to Atlanta for MagicCon Atlanta. And while I normally do a podcast about each MagicCon that I attend, I thought today I'd talk about what we do to prepare for MagicCon. Yes, today's topic is MagicCon prep. So this is the behind the scenes of what we do to get ready for MagicCon. So I will talk, mostly I'm going to talk about my experience, what I do behind the scenes. There are in fact entire teams that put this together that spend all their time putting this together. This is, I have another job that I do other than MagicCon, so I do some prep for MagicCon. I'm more talking about what I do for prep since that's what I know. But there is a very dedicated team that spends a lot of time and energy making MagicCons as awesome as they can. And one of the themes for today, by the way, is if you've never been to a MagicCon, they are awesome. You should go to a MagicCon. So anyway, okay, so what exactly, if I'm going to a MagicCon, and I go to most MagicCons, normally if there's three in a year, I go to two, is on average. But anyway, what exactly, what is MagicCon? What do we need to do to prepare for MagicCon? So the thing that I often do is a list of items that I do. I'm on a panel, usually, sometimes more than one panel. I've been on community panels as well as official Wizards panels. I normally, if I'm going, I do a talk, which I will get into, that I have to write and prepare. I sometimes will do, there are game shows, like this time I'm going to be on a game show. There are sometimes live games played that I've been on. I'm not doing it this time, but I've been on live games before. There are sometimes Q&As that I've done. I will be doing one Q&A this time. There are some events I have to attend. There's some schmoozing I need to do. And then I do meet and greets where I will sign things and take pictures and talk with the fans. Okay, so let's sort of walk through. Those are, and there's, I'm sure, a few miscellaneous things I haven't mentioned that I'll do. Oh, I do press interviews as well. I didn't mention that. So that's something else that I have to do. Okay, so, but what of these things actually requires prep? Not all of this requires prep. Some of this is I show up. That stuff doesn't require lots of prep. But okay, let's start with the panels. So if I'm on a panel, so for example, on this particular one, I am on, there's a preview panel. So I am on a preview panel. We're going to show off things to come. So how does that panel work? So most panels, I guess there are a couple of different type of panels. A preview panel is mostly what we call sort of a teaser panel or something in which we're going to show you things you don't know, usually magic cards you don't know or talk about magic things. We're going to reveal information you don't know. Then also there's panels where we sort of reminisce. We talk about, like I was on a panel once about all about Ravnica and the innovations of Ravnica. Sometimes it's a panel about the making of a particular set. Oh, well, we all worked on such and such a set, and let's talk about the making of that set. So, in general, there are ones that are more future-facing and ones more past-facing. And then every once in a while, we will do something more open-ended. My panel this time is a preview panel. So preview panels, the way preview panels work is we have to figure out what we're telling you. So, okay, here's the upcoming sets we're talking about. Here's what we're saying about each set. Usually the closer the set, the more we tell you. So for example, for the panel for Atlanta, you know, we spend the most time talking about the next set to come out that the players don't know, which is Lorwyn Eclipse, for example. So we talk a whole bunch about that. And we're going to talk about other sets that follow, but essentially you talk the most about the closest thing. And then for each set, you got to figure out what are we saying and what are we showing and what information do they get? And kind of as things go along, you get less and less information, but we're always sort of clear on what we're doing. And then, so the way the preview plan starts is just what is being said. Not who is saying it, just what is being said. And then once we figure out what is being said, we're like, okay, who are the best people to say these things? And so we start putting together a panel. So I was asked, like, Greg is in charge of all the panels. So he and I will sort of figure out what is happening. Greg sort of figures out, Greg Collins, he figures out what panels are going to happen. But then individual people running their individual panels, like Blake Rasmussen runs the preview panel. So Blake's the one that reached out to me that said, I'd like to have you on the preview panel. And then basically it's like, we're going to talk about the following things. Okay, what does make sense for me to talk about versus somebody else? Now there's a bunch of sets next year. Well, I work on all the in-universe sets and I work on a bunch of the universes beyond sets. So I have my hands in a lot of different things. So it's very easy for me to talk about different stuff because I had some involvement with a lot of stuff. So what happens is we have our first run through. And the first run through is just everybody who's going to be up on stage in a room will have slides and we'll have a slide deck, if you will. Meaning the slides as we think they'll be. Usually the slide deck early on is not, it doesn't have all the things yet, but it the first version is everything we think that we know we have that we can get at the time. Some things, like UB, for example, Universes Beyond, we're working with our partner to make sure that our partner's happy with what we're showing about the property we're doing. And anyway, so the first thing is like a walkthrough, which is, okay, here's the host. Like we had two hosts for this one. And the hosts figure out who's going to say what, and they introduce people. Now, there's a couple different types of panels. A very common structure we do is everybody walks on stage, their seats, and everybody gets in their seat. We're trying something new, or actually we started trying it at PAX West, where they call people up on the stage, and you only go up for your portion, and then when you're done talking, you go off stage. So only the people that are talking in that moment are on stage. We're trying. Because we have a lot of people talking, makes it a little less, I guess, busy on stage. So what happens is you go that first run through, and then each person sort of says, okay, here's the section you're responsible for, and then you need to figure out what exactly it is you want to say about that. For example, for the preview panel, we were talking about Lauren Eclipsed. We were talking about, for me, I was talking about Lauren Eclipsed. I'm talking about there's a Marvel set upcoming next year that I led. I talked about that. We talk a little bit about all the different sets. There's another set that I led during the year that I get to talk about. And anyway, we sort of walk through and figure out what exactly are, what are the things that we want, like what are the points that I would like to say. Some of it is, what are we showing to make sure I hit those things. So some of it is like, oh, we're showing this. What do I have to say about showing that? And some of it might be, oh, are there things about this set that I kind of want to hit? Are there certain points I want to hit? And so we'll do kind of a loose run through where you're kind of off the top of your head figuring what you want to say. Usually we walk away from that meeting and you, they'll post sort of the run through. It's kind of like a spreadsheet. And then you'll go into your sections and you'll type, I think I'm going to say something like this. You're not beholden to the exact speech. You're more like, here's the bullet points I want to hit. Some people like having a more written out speech. I like bullet points. I'm not, when I talk, I mean, I will know the things I need to say, but I feel I'm better if I know the general gist of what I want to say and not that it's exactly written word for word. So for example, I'll look at my sections in the preview panel and go, okay, I'll say this, I'll say this, I'll say this, and I'll sort of mark down what I do. And also what can happen in the first, for example, in the first panel, we can refigure out what we're doing. Originally, I wasn't going to talk about one set, but I was really excited by it because it's a set I led. So I said, hey, I think I can do something fun with this. And, you know, so that first meeting, you can sort of sometimes build some stuff out. And you can change things up. Like, I ended up talking about a part that I originally wasn't going to talk about, but I had a fun thing, so, like, we moved things around. Okay, the second run-through, everybody sort of has written down their general talking points, and the second run-through is, okay, we're actually going to run through this, we're going to have actual slides, but we still will stop in places and go, oh, that's not working, maybe we should change something, you know. So the second run-through is somewhat of a real run-through, but with a lot of notes and stopping. And the reason of that run-through is you're starting to get a gist of what you want to say, but you're sort of making sure we're hitting things. And if you're missing anything, sometimes, for example, like when I go in through and make my notes, like for the Marvel section, I realized that what I wanted to say, the slides were slightly out of order to match the point I wanted to make. So I went and said, okay, I wasn't adding any pictures. Actually, I did add one picture, but normally I wasn't changing anything. I wasn't changing what we were showing. I was changing the order of what we were showing. Now, I did get a note. I walked through my talk with Aaron, and he gave me a good note, and that I was missing a good point. So I went back and said, oh, I want to make this point. We don't have an image for that point. Can we get an image? And we have to find an image and clear it through our partner. You know, but we did. We got the image for that so that I can make that point. And that all comes the second run through. Like I said, it's a little bit rough, but you're really actually trying to start to gel what it is you're going to say. Then the third run through, and normally there's three run throughs. That's normal for a panel. I've had panels with more than three. I've had panels with less than three, I guess, but three is normal. The third panel is kind of the full run through, and the idea there is we don't stop. That if something goes wrong, I mean, if something goes horribly wrong, we can stop, but the idea generally is just continue on. If you stumble on something, just act like you're really on stage and just go through the thing. We don't normally stand up. We're still seated. Like, we're not walking through things, but, and then sometimes at the event, either we will show up the day before or we will show up early of the day we're doing it. And there might be a smidgen of, okay, like, you don't know the stage work until you actually get there. Like, for example, when I was at PAX West, we ended up being seated where we thought we were going to stand. It's like, oh, okay, you're not going to stand. Like, you just make sure you understand the nature of what's happening and where you go. And if there's multiple people coming on, who's sitting where. And just work out the general gist. It doesn't take very long, but we need to do that. Okay, that is a panel. So panels are probably the most, well, not the most. I'll get to the most in a second. Panels are a decent amount of prep work. There's a lot of planning ahead of time. And the thing about panels is, it's all planned out what we're going to say. Like, not that there can't be spontaneous moments, especially I like having spontaneous moments. So, like, a good example is, and this is from PAX West, but we had a Spider-Man panel that I had done. And when I got there and there was an audience, one of the fun things was we were doing some handouts. And I realized I could be a bit more playful with the audience, so I was. So I never had done that during the run-throughs, but I saw the opportunity when I was live with the audience. And, you know, that'll happen. And I have a background in improv and you know, stand-up. And, like, I'm more than comfortable winging things on my feet. So stuff like that I'm happy doing. Okay, so that is previews. As far as game shows, normally we will do one or two run-through of the game shows. Like I was many years ago in, what was it, Philadelphia. We did a game show where it was 25 words or less, basically. And so it was a matter of making sure everyone understands the game and how it works. We didn't run through the actual things we're doing on the actual day, but we came up with not the real things we were doing, but so we could walk through and practice doing the game show. In Atlanta, I'm on Actually, which is from Dropout. I've never done Actually, but I've watched Actually. My daughter's a big Dropout fan of Rachel, so she showed me Actually. They once did an Actually on Magic already, like a taped version. So, we actually did an Actually at another show, but I was on stage doing a panel. But I was very excited to. I love Magic trivia, so I'm going to be on this particular one. They don't want me to know anything. They want me to sort of be spontaneous. I'm aware of. I've seen the show, so I'm aware of the structure that I'm playing in. But there really was no prep for that. Some depends on the thing. As far as games, where I'm playing in games ahead of time, like I did Game Nights Live in Vegas last year. That actually had a decent amount of prep. I got my deck ahead of time, so I spent at lunch. There's a lunchtime commander game. So I was playing in the lunchtime commander game. I was just playing for my deck to get familiar with it, to be aware of, like, what the cards were and what the combos were and, like, just getting a general sense of how my deck played. And then I had to show up 2 days early. I talked about all this in my my podcast on that MagicCon. But anyway, we had a day where we were playing through and figuring things out. We had a day for staging. But that had a lot. There was a decent amount of prep work to do that. Okay. The thing that probably is the most time-consuming for me is whenever I go to a MagicCon, or most of the time, I do a talk. And the way the talk works is I have an hour, and I can do whatever I want. I can talk about whatever I want. Normally, I clear the topic through Greg, but I don't think I've ever pitched a topic, and Greg said, no, don't do that topic. So I have a general sense of what makes for fun talks. So the idea of a talk is... Normally, it's there's some history to it. I'm talking about something. Recently, I've been doing a lot of top 20 best mechanics, top 20 worst mechanics. For Atlanta, it's top 20 most influential sets. So the idea is, so I build them, I have a Mac at home, so I build them in Keynote, and I build them and run it off my phone. For those that have never seen one of my talks, I use a lot of slides. For example, in Atlanta, I'm not 100% done. I'm close to done. But I am over 800 slides right now. Basically, my rule of thumb is the more time I have, the more slides I will make. So I think I'm doing my final run-through today. So I might add a few slides in my final run-through. But I'm going to be between 800 and 900 slides, which is... there's a talk a while back that I did at GDC... the 20 years, 20 lessons. And that one, which I'd done infinite prep on, I had over 1,000 slides. So anyway, the idea is I have a talk. The point is not that the talk, whatever it is that I'm talking about, best mechanics, best sets, whatever. There is actual thought going into trying to actually do that. But the larger picture is I'm trying to be entertaining. I'm trying to tell fun stories. So a lot of what I'm doing is I am trying to not just pick things or whatever, but I'm also just trying to make fun content. I want to be entertaining to watch. I want you to have fun. And these talks are filmed. So if you're not at MagicCon, if you are at Atlanta, this is 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Come watch. But if you're not at Atlanta, or even if you are and you're doing something else, it is taped, and you can see it, I don't know, like a week or so later. It'll be up on online, so you can watch it. In fact, you can watch my old talks. The interesting thing about the talks is, I'll say it's more scripted. It's not that I have an actual script. In the moment, what I say, there's some variance, you know, when I run through it multiple times. I don't quite say the same thing every time, but... it is much more planned out. The reason I have so many slides is I'm going to tell this thing at this time and talk about this. Like, it's a lot. It's the closest I get to a script. Once again, it's not exactly scripted up, but it is. I have a very exacting order that I'm going to do things. And the other thing that's really different from, like, obviously you guys listen to my podcast. My podcast is more like I have a rough topic. I have bullet points of what I want to say. And then I'm telling a story, and I'll do whatever I'm going to do. And if ideas come to me, I'll drift sometimes. Like today's podcast, I have a list of all the things I want to talk about. I roughly follow the list, but I do a lot of bouncing around. There's a naturalness to my podcast where I'm just talking about the thing I want to talk about. If I get into tangents, I get into tangents. When I'm doing a live talk, because I'm doing slides, there's a whole visual component. It's a lot more locked in. It's a lot more direct of what I'm doing. The other thing that'll happen is usually after I do the talk, I will do a podcast sort of version of the talk. But they're very, very different. And the talk itself has a lot of visuals. So I would recommend both watching my talk and if I do it on the podcast, also listening to it. You'll see they're really not the same thing, and they kind of show up the strengths of each of the medium. As a performer, I like to lean into the medium. And so the way I do a podcast is really different than the way I do a talk. They're just very structured. The other thing that I can do in a talk that's a little bit harder to do is I can set up actual jokes and things. So there's definitely things in my talk where I'm specifically, leaning toward humor. Not that I can't be funny on my podcast, but that's more organic humor. Okay, so how long does it take for me to do a talk? It takes a long time. I'm very exacting in my talks. I spend a lot of time. I normally start 6 weeks maybe before the event, just so I have a lot of time. And this is mostly done on weekends and sometimes at night. I will just go on. I'll go through... The way I do a top 20, so for example, I was doing the top 20 most influential sets, expansions, most influential expansions is my talk. So I made a list, and then I went on to, we have a, the pit is where all the R&D sits, and we have a thread online. So I'll go into our thread and I'll say, okay, guys, I'm doing this talk. What do you think are the most influential sets? And everybody will list stuff, and I'll end up getting a list from everybody that's more than 20. I think my list when I put it together was like 35. And I also had made my own list. So I put my list up, or sorry, I didn't put my, I made my own list, but I didn't put it up because I didn't want to influence anybody. So anyway, I take my list and I take other people's lists. And the idea of my list is initial thoughts. I mean, when other people suggest, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. And then I sort of narrow it down. And what I did is I made things that had to be there. They're absolutely positively top 20. I made things like, maybe they're there. And they made a list that go, I don't think these are going to make the cut. And then when I did that, I think I had like 10 automatic includes. I had like 15 maybes, and then I had a bunch on the other side. So really what it was is narrowing down. So what I would do is I would build each section. Like I knew my number one, and so I worked on that first. In fact, I knew my one and two right away. So I would I go, oh, I know I'm going to do this, and I put it in. Once again, while my list is, I'm trying to be accurate with my list, there's a little bit of give toward what has good stories. So my list, I think, is a pretty good list. If I was fighting for two cards, you know, for two sets for one slot, and one of them had a better story, I might pick the better story. In the end, this is more about entertainment. I mean, I am trying to, not that my content isn't true, I am picking sets I think are very valuable sets, and I explain why I think they're valuable sets in the talk. But once again, I'm more so than anything else, I'm just trying to be entertaining. The entertainment value is number one. I do try to be educational. I have a lot of, I love Magic history, and I have a lot of knowledge of Magic history. So I am trying to teach people things. So if you watch my talk, you'll learn things that you may or may not know. Some of the stories I tell in this talk, I have told on my podcast. So some of them you might be familiar with. The nice thing about the talk is, A, there's pictures with it, so you can see people and stuff like that. And because they structure, sometimes I will work things a little bit differently. So there'll be some stories you might have heard, but maybe there's extra details, or I'm telling a little different context than you know. But anyway, the talk can take, usually a talk is at minimum tens of hours of work. I mean, it's tens of hours. It's not like 100-hour work. But like it can be 20 hours, 30 hours, depending on sort of, I mean, on some level, I work on it as much as I'm able to work on it. And so usually what happens is I build all the individual pieces, then I put them in order, and then I do passes where I go through and I go, oh, well, this story's a little better if I show you this, you know. And one of the tricky things, the two big tricky things about doing visuals, one is I'm trying to be historical. So when I'm talking about all the expansions, I want to show you the lead designer slash vision designer and the lead developer slash set designer. And so I want to show the people that are that led the set, which means I need images. Some people, it is hard to find images. In fact, one of the sets in my top 20 is Legends. So there's a guy named Steve Conard that led Legends. I know Steve. I worked with Steve, but I haven't seen Steve in 25 years. I went online. The internet has no pictures of Steve. And there's some pictures of Steve Conard, but I'm like, oh, is that just an older Steve Conard that I haven't seen for 25 years? Like, I don't think that's... So what I ended up doing is Laura remembered that she had taken pictures of him at an event back in, like, 95. And so we went back and found the book, found the scrapbook that Laura had done. And then I took it. And even then, it's not the greatest picture of him, but it is a picture of him. Some people who I'm still in contact with, I will write to them and say, hey, here's the best I can do online. Do you want a better picture than this? And if you do, give me the picture. And then some people will then send me a picture so that I have a picture that they're happy with. In general, I like people to, I mean, especially people I can talk to, I like to have them be happy with the picture I'm using for them. But there's some people who I don't have contact information with and I haven't seen forever, and I just find the best picture I can. The other thing that's tricky is sometimes I'm talking about a concept. And then I'm like, okay, I need a visual to talk about this concept. And some concepts are easy. Some concepts, like, lend themselves to a visual. But some of them are like, oh, You know, I need the concept of time went by quickly. Okay, is it a speeding clock? Is it a, what shows time went by fast? You know, and then I got to figure out the visual for that. And anyway, there's a lot of stuff that goes into my talk. I spend a lot of time on it. It's the thing I do. It's definitely the thing I do for MagicCon that takes the most time. And it's the thing that I think is my favorite thing that I do as far as it has the most polish to it. I'm excited to do this talk. The one thing is I haven't had a chance to do all the run-throughs. Often what happens at the event at night before I go to bed, I'll do run-throughs of it just to sort of make sure I understand the information. Like, remind myself all the different slides I have in different orders. I have jokes built in. I just have to remember the jokes are there and stuff like that. Okay. Other things that I do. I talked about doing press interviews. The only prep I have to do with the press interviews is I have to schedule them. One of the things that we do for everything. So, basically, ahead of time, I get sent a schedule. The one of the show managers will map up everybody's time out and then send a list of here's where everybody needs to be when. And I get pretty busy, so I need a master schedule. So not only am I doing my panels and my talk, I have my signings. One of my jobs is to do a certain amount of time in the Black Lotus room. Black Lotus are the people that is kind of the nicest ticket. And one of the perks is you get a special place you can hang out in. You get to schmooze with wizards people like me. So I spend some time there. I also spend a certain amount of time. I block off time so I can walk the halls and see people. If you really want to meet me, I have signings that you can come to called meet and greets. And I'm happy. I'll sign autographs. I'll answer questions. I'll take pictures. You can come to that. I just recommend coming a little bit early because the lines can get long. If you see me in the hall, feel free to stop me. I'm happy to take a picture. But be aware, I might be on my way to somewhere. I might have to do it quickly because I am busy. But I'm always happy to say hi to people and take pictures and sign autographs. But I have to map my time out. Most of the time, the thing that's mapped out is done ahead of time by the show manager or one of the show managers. But I have a few things like press that doesn't get decided until very, very close to the event. So I have to map my schedule and then double check for stuff like press. The only thing I do for press is I just have to make sure that I know if there's any sort of hot button issues, I just will walk through and make sure that I'm aware of everything we're saying about whatever. There's a little tiny bit of prep I do on press, but usually I'm fine. I mean, I do tons of press, so usually I'm just fine, but I have to schedule it out. Oh, there also is a talk before we go called Know Before You Go, KBYK. And it's a meeting that is, it's a mandatory meeting that everybody attending the event must go to. Usually there's a morning meeting and an afternoon meeting. You can pick the one that's easiest for you. In fact, this time I went to the morning meeting, but it was early in the morning. So while I drove into my car, I listened to it while I drove into my car. So instead of podcasting that day, I attended the meeting. And I would say about 70% of a Know Before You Go meeting is the same stuff they say every time. This is what a MagicCon is. Here's the basic things. So a lot of it is stuff that I already know because I've been to a lot of MagicCons. But the other 30% is like, oh, here's what's unique about this venue. Here are events that we have never done before that we're doing for the first time. Here are opportunities you might not be aware of. Here are, you know, whatever the information they have to get across to us. Sometimes it's also like, oh, here's where the food is at. You know, just sharing with us information. There's a whole packet they make that we have access to. So online, I could look at the packet. And also, I have to make sure, like, oh, do I know my hotel? Like, do I know all the component pieces I need? While certain MagicCon things are pretty consistent from time to time. The other thing that I have to do is I get there a day early. Although it used to be the show is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It used to be I would get there a day early and I had the whole day to like figure out where things were, check out the venue. Now we started to doing things for Black Lotus. So I have a Q&A on Thursday and then there's a Black Lotus first look at night that I'm going to be part of. Sometimes I have to get up and say things. And when that happens, we'll usually have a meeting ahead of time. But sometimes if we don't have the ability to do that, I just show up a little bit early and then I run through my lines. That doesn't take too much prep. Stuff like the Q&A, there's really no prep for the Q&A. Other than like the press, I just need to make sure I'm aware of what's out and what's known and The good news is because I do my blog, and I talk to players every single day, I have a really good sense of what people do and don't know because they ask me about it. So more so than most people at Wizards, I'm pretty up on what is public knowledge and what is not. I always like to have a little refresher, make sure I'm aware of everything. And the other thing I need to make aware of is I like to know, I'm on some of the panels, but there's other panels that are saying things that I don't. So I try to also figure out, oh, what else is getting said, so I'm aware of what gets said. That's more for my day-to-day job than it is for the MagicCon. The last thing that I have to do as part of my schedule is, one of the things that I like to do is I like to play in events. A, because I like to play in events, that's just fun. But B, one of the things when we ask people about MagicCon is that one of the things they value very highly is the fact to do things that you can't normally do. So we run a lot of unique events that are unique, like Gavin has the Unknown event. That's the only place you can do that. And there's a lot of influencers, for example, like Brian David Marshall and Loading Ready Run. There's just people that do their own unique event that you can go do their event. I've done a few of those. I did an un-event once, although I think that was a Black Lotus event. But I occasionally do those. There's some prep work if I'm going to run an event. I don't run events all that often. More often than not, like, I filled in for the Unknown event for Gavin. He had to go to a wedding, so Matt Tabak and I filled in. There wasn't a lot of prep for that. I needed to know the general risk, just the general gist of it. But that does make a lot of prep. The final thing I need to do on site is I need to do a quick run through the day before. Where are all the things? Where's the mana stage? Where's the Black Lotus room? Where's the press room? Where are all the places I'm going to need to be? And then I actually make a schedule and I double check my schedule and I have to cross-reference it with not just the show stuff, but press. And just make sure that's the last piece, I guess, is just make sure that I'm well aware where I need to be, where and when. And like I say, I also schedule some time. Not only is my Black Lotus time scheduled, but I started scheduling, like, floor time because it's really important to me. Yes, it's fun to meet all the Black Lotus folk, but I also want to meet people that aren't Black Lotus folk. So I actually schedule time to walk the floor. So if you ever see me, like I say, you can say hi. I also like to see, we have a lot of retailers and stuff there, and it's always fun to see that. So I like to have a little time to see that. So anyway, guys, that is all my prep work that I can remember. Once again, there sometimes individual shows, there might be something new I'm doing that I've never done before. Maybe that takes a little extra prep. For those that are going to Atlanta, although I'm not sure this is going up in time that you'll hear it before Atlanta, but I am going to be in the preview panel. I'm doing my talk. I'm doing some meet and greets. I'm doing some Black Lotus stuff. So when I get back, I will do a podcast all about how all of that went. So now you can hear about me preparing for it ahead of time, but not knowing what's going to happen. So I will do a podcast where I walk through everything that happens and you guys can hear all about it. But anyway, guys, that is my podcast on MagicCon prep. It can vary how much. Like I said, the talk is always a lot of work, and the panel usually is a decent amount of work. But other than that, it's not too bad. And I really do enjoy doing MagicCons. I enjoy all the stuff. I know it's work putting stuff together. But the payoff is seeing the enjoyment for all of you because it's super fun. But anyway, guys, I'm now at work. So we all know that means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.